Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy for Friday, October 8th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois. I typically come on the second Saturday of each month, but our show is on Friday today due to the time difference between Chicago, Illinois, and Australia, where our guest, Des Walsh, resides. It's actually Saturday morning there, but next month we will return to our usual Saturday at 2 p.m. time slot. I'd like to begin by reminding you that Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet radio talk show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires and motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. Remember that the object of all life is development. And everything that lives has an inalienable right to all the development it is capable of attaining. That's from Wallace D. Wattles. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Our topic is Clues for Championing Social Media in the Corporation. Our guest today is Des Walsh. He is a business mentor coach, social media strategist, author, international speaker. And let me tell you a little bit about Des. First of all, in the spirit of true social media, I was introduced to Des back around 2005 when I had a podcast through a third party who was a friend of Des, and Des helped me get some wonderful women for my podcast. Since then, we've moved on to a radio show, today's radio show, but Des and I have kept in touch over the years. Let me tell you a little bit more about him. Des uses his mentor coach skills and practical understanding of social media to help successful business owners and entrepreneurs take their business to the next level in a balanced, ethical, organic, and timely fashion. As a mentor coach, he draws on years of executive-level experience in business and government, together with training through the Coachville Graduate School of Coaching and School of Small Business Coaching. He is a founding member of the International Association of Coaching and a former member of the IAC Board of Governors. As a social media strategist, he works with businesses that understand that social media is in fact part of a bigger picture of social business. The business owners and managers he works with understand that business is increasingly inescapably social, making transparent engagement via the social media a necessity, not an optional extra. Des is a professional member of the Social Media Club organization and a member of the Founders Council of Social Business One, a thought leader group of practical real-world experts in social, CRM, Enterprise 2.0, and social media marketing. He lives on the Gold Coast, Australia, with beautiful beaches, clean air, and fresh local seafood and country produce, about 1.5 hours flying time north of the Sydney Opera House. He coaches mostly by phone and Skype. Welcome, Des.
Thank you very much, Yvonne. It's great to be here. One day I'll get to Chicago.
I hope so, and when you do, make sure you let me know so I can show you our beautiful city.
Yeah, I've read about it and heard about it, and it's definitely on the list.
I'd like to begin by asking, Des, what are some of the differences between how a large firm and a small firm would handle the implementation of a social media strategy?
The question is one that could entertain us for quite a while, because one of the give a little preamble to this. One of the challenges I see for business people who maybe use some social media. Most people use some sort of social media in their private lives, and if they're not using, their kids are, and their friends are. But how you make that practical in business terms is a bit of a challenge. So one of the parts of that challenge that I see is people knowing what are the kind of templates, what are the guides, what are the rules of engagement, if you will. And a lot of the information that's available to people is provided as if all corporations, all businesses were the same, and we know they're not. So I think what's happening is an increasing specialization of some people focusing more on the large enterprises and some on the smaller, the mom-and-pop businesses or the sole trader businesses, if you will. So I think that there are a lot of... I know that there are differences. And then within... just recently, I've been working with a firm which is a kind of medium, or so I'd say small consulting firms, professional services, and there are differences between the larger corporations, you know, the Disney Corporation, the Ford Motor Company, etc., and down to the local legal practitioner, local business coach, perhaps. But there is this other group which I think gets left out a bit, which is the firm of, say, you know, 1 to 20 people, maybe $2 to $5 million turnover and so on, and they have special needs too. So when I'm talking about the difference between large and small, I'm also recognizing that there are differences within the differences. Now, one of the major differences is budget. Bigger companies usually have budgetary discretion to experiment. Smaller businesses often don't, regularly don't. And secondly, larger corporations can try something out in a small way without necessarily exposing the whole business if something doesn't go so well. They can try it out, maybe a kind of out-of-town tryout. Maybe they've got a branch in Australia, they can try something, and if it doesn't work, then it's only going to affect the Australian market and not its US market, for example. Whereas a smaller firm, which has probably got closer relationships with its customers really doesn't have the time or the money to afford a lot of experimentation, if it gets it wrong, can frankly look a bit silly and then have a lot of rebuilding to do. But one of the reasons I mentioned the professional services firms is, I was just talking yesterday with a man who's an expert in the financial services field, and we were discussing how, you know, every firm's reputation is important to it, but there's something particular about firms of lawyers, consulting engineers, legal practitioners, and psychologists, other small firms where their reputation is absolutely crucial, and they are nervous about risking it on what might seem a risky exercise of doing social media. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And one of the things that I have noticed is that quite often companies decide, oh, I think we need to be a part of social media. And so they may just grab the nearest person and say, why don't you put together a social media strategy for us and make it happen?
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on that strategy?
Well, one of the things that I talk about with companies is that way back in the last century, in the 1990s, I used to talk about, when I was working with companies on their web strategy, I used to talk about what I call the Monday morning after golf syndrome, which was the managing director would come in having played golf on the weekend and say to the staff assembled, we have to get one of these web things, one of these internet things, you know. And now what is happening is a kind of newer version of that, to some degree, of what do we have to do to get one of these social media things? You know, how do we get this social media thing going? And someone will say, Well, I have a friend who's a web developer, and he knows all about that, or she knows all about that. And they develop a strategy, and they try things out. They might try out a Facebook page, or they might try out having a blog or something. But it's not always a strategy that is really integrated with the purpose of their business and their 12-month goals and all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's a real, you know, it's a bit of a Wild West show sometimes. So the smarter businesses will sort of say, yeah, this looks like something we need to get into, but let's do it as we might think of establishing a branch in a new city, as we might think of taking on a new product line. We'll research it, we'll find out, you know, we'll do our due diligence, we'll find out what the risks are, what the opportunities are, what's the risk management process, how will we measure success, because if you don't know where you're going, you can't tell if you've got there.
Exactly. And one of the things that I've noticed is that often companies tend to group it all into one big blob called social media and not differentiate between social media tools, social business, and the like. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, even one of the things that that I think we've exchanged a couple of messages on this, one of the things that worries me sometimes is that typically a conversation about social media with business people who have not really started to implement any strategies or activities in this field, they start with a discussion about specific platforms or specific tools. And a conversation, even as recently as yesterday, with someone said, "Oh, I tried that Twitter thing, but it didn't work for me." And I said, "That's interesting." I said, "I was doing some very specific connecting with people in a strategic way a couple of days ago, and I connected with somebody on Twitter who then contacted me with a proposal for a business project between San Francisco and Australia." So he was slightly open-mouthed at this, you know, that what I was trying to tell him as politely as I could was just dabbling is not social media for business. That's just dabbling. But if you're thinking about it in a business way, there are strategies that people can use. So it's kind of, yeah, what I like to do is to try to demystify, because it is a bit mysterious for a lot of people, to demystify what's going on and kind of chunk it down and get rid of some of the jargon so that people can understand how these tools, how these processes work in a language they understand, which is the language of business. It's you want to connect with, and, you know, I would say to someone who said, "I don't think we can get into this," I would ask them, "Are you saying you don't want to go on connecting with your customers? Because your customers are increasingly relying on these forms of communication. So you're effectively saying you're going to distance yourself from the ways that they want to communicate with you." Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I just had that conversation myself with a very, very large business, and they just gave me that look that made me realize they hadn't even considered that the fact that without having that social business mindset of what is my objective, how do I measure it, what is it going to look like, how do I determine if I'm successful when I reach that point, it had never crossed their mind. And in addition, they never considered what you just said, which is they would have cut out X percent of not only current customers but prospects who use this medium as a way of communicating and expect to be communicated in the way that they prefer.
That's right. And there are a lot of assumptions that people have that if they're really savvy business people, they'll test. You know, one of the hardest things for any of us is to have someone suggest that maybe we're wrong. And I'll give you an example of this. I spent the better part of a day during the week working on part of my website, a whole section there. And I sent it to a colleague saying, what do you think of this? And she sent it back with about four bullet points demolishing it. So when I picked myself up off the floor, I spent a large part of the next day completely rewriting it. And she said, I'm sorry if I was a bit harsh. And I said, no, real friends are truthful. And
absolutely.
But, you know, it's hard for us in business to say there's something I don't know. But, you know, there are a lot of things I don't know about social media. But one thing I do know is this is where the world is heading at an increasing rate. Let me just give you one example, Yvonne, of how people who may be very good at what they do are sometimes missing the boat at the moment, missing the bus that's going by, so to speak. Looking at an apartment recently, this is something we might want to buy, and the real estate agent was probably in his late 30s, and he asked me what I did, and I mentioned the social media thing, and he said, oh, our market is not really, that doesn't really make much sense for our market. I knew what he meant. I knew that in the particular area he was looking at maturer people who may be downsizing from a large house to an apartment, etc. So they're probably baby boomers and older. You know? And I said, that's interesting. I said, did you know that baby boomers are the fastest growing group on the social networks?
Mm-hmm.
And he just
looked,
very uncomfortable and said, I probably should keep my mouth shut. Well, I thought, no, keep your ears open, you know, it would be much better.
Absolutely, and actually
he's missing out on a whole group of people who use social networks to find out where are the best apartments, where's the best places to live, you know, sharing experiences, who are the best real estate agents to deal with, and the savvy businesses are the ones that are saying, I don't quite know how this works, but there's something going on here, and I want to be part of it, and I want to do that strategically and smartly, and I want to minimize my risk, but I also want to maximize my opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things, well, before I ask my next question, I'd just like to make a comment regarding this real estate agent, because a lot of younger, savvy real estate agents that I know actually use social media. I have a young woman who was in one of my classes when I was teaching for the MBA program at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I actually wrote her a letter of recommendation and kept in touch with her over the years to kind of follow her career and see how she is doing. And so she and I are connected on LinkedIn, and recently she decided to sell her apartment. And the way that I found that out, because that's more on the personal side of things rather than the business side where we typically engage with each other, is that she took a video. She was selling her apartment herself, and she took a video of the entire apartment and walked all around it, and then she posted the video of the apartment along with some details related to the sale of that apartment. And when I saw that, I thought, what a brilliant idea. So someone can take a look at the apartment before they even actually visit it to see if this is what they're looking for. And that's an example of how real estate uses this tool called social, one of the tools of social media, which had not occurred to me until this young lady used that to sell her apartement. And she sold it because people felt like they were going getting a walkthrough even though they weren't in the unit.
Yeah. That's great. Now, and also, you know, and what we know, Yvonne, is that people can sit there in their own home or in their office or wherever, and they can look at that video, and they don't have a real estate agent standing at their elbow doing the hard sell. You know, that's one of the reasons we do stuff online, because we can do it unencumbered, unpressurized, you know, and then when we go to buy something, we've already done our market research and we can negotiate on price or whatever, so it kind of narrows down the number of things that we have to do.
Exactly, and in her case, it was a for sale by owner anyway.
It reminded me too, and this is another thing for people who are saying, and I can imagine there would be, maybe not listening to this program now, but maybe picking it up later, or people you and I have conversations with, and I can say this as an older person myself, you know, some older baby boomers and others that I talk to do get apprehensive. They say, I don't really want to have to learn all this stuff, but how can I use it in my business? Well, a lot of businesses have young people. I can think of one business immediately where there's a young woman who, if the owner of the business would get out of his own way, she'd be over the moon about the opportunity to help drive a social media strategy for this business, which actually needs it. But he hasn't quite got to getting her brief to do that. So people can have unutilized or underutilized resources in their own business in terms of the human capital they've got, the younger, what we call digital natives, who are totally familiar with the technology and understand how people communicate with this and could help drive a business to more success. So I had an example the other day. We had a social media club meeting and a woman came along who owns her own real estate business, and she would be also a mature citizen, and she got it. She understood it in business terms. She said, I'm coming back. And she came back to the next meeting, and she had with her one of probably a 20-year-old, you know, but one of her younger staff members, and she said, she's the one who's going to do this. So she was savvy in business terms. She saw that this was something she wanted to do, her business to do, and become expert at. And she was telling me she's going to lead the pack. She's going to be ahead of her competitors. And she's also savvy about identifying someone on her staff for whom the learning curve would be easier, but under the supervision of the managing director. And that, to me, is a terrific formula. It's really practical.
That is an excellent formula. In fact, on a recent blog post that I have from my Generational Differences blog, I talked about reverse mentoring, which a lot of companies are doing today, where they take a younger person and they partner them with a mature, experienced person within the organization, often at the executive level, and they do reverse mentoring. One shares the industry experience and knowledge, and the other one shares the social media, online knowledge that they have, and this beautiful symbiotic relationship that results is that the company then gets ideas in a comfortable setting where by the time the executive then broaches the conversation, they have an idea what they're talking about because they have been mentored by one of their younger staff.
Yeah. That's a great way of doing things. That's really terrific.
Now I have another question. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, one of the other things that I have noticed is that people have difficulty separating the media from the tools, from the business, and they just kind of pull it all together into one big thing called social media. And the differentiator is you need to be able to tell the difference between the two. Would you like to speak to that for a moment?
Between the just so I get the question clear, the difference between
the tools and using those tools to enable the corporation to achieve its strategic objectives.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So one of the there's a very good tool that people can use to sort of play around with this, and it's freely available. There's a company called Forrester, Forrester.com. They're a leading research firm in this field, and they have a tool on their site, and it's called the Social Technographic Profile tool or something like that. You have to Google it. Someone can get in touch with me if they can't find it. And you can look at how people use social media with that. But one of the things that they use is a formula called POST, P-O-S-T, and that stands for people, objectives, strategy, and tools, or technology. So the tools come last. And this helps business people sometimes if you can help them to give them a framework within which to talk through how this work might work, how all this might work for them. But before you get to the tools, whether we use a blog, whether we use Facebook, I spoke to a business owner yesterday who's deliberately not using Facebook at the moment as part of his strategy because he wants to focus on some other things, including how to use Twitter. So whether we use those particular platforms is a second order question. The first question to ask is the people. How do our customers or our prospective customers use social networks, social technologies? And there are ways to determine this. There are ways to work out. And you know, one of the things I suggested to someone the other day is, you've got a mailing list, do a survey. Send an email out to people and say, we're looking at developing a social media strategy. Could you please answer the following questions? It'll only take a minute. Do you use Facebook? Do you use Twitter? Do you use? Would you read a blog post, etc.? So the Forrester system is really good because it says look at how people use social technologies, and this may take a while to build a profile of your customer. So we know that if they're over 50, they're less likely to be using Facebook than if they are 20 years old, but they may be using it. So just because it's a smaller percentage, doesn't mean it might be something to rule out. So look at the post and then look at what your objectives are. And the objectives, if you read some of the material about social media, you may think it's just a kind of amplified version of traditional media. Whereas in fact, your objective may not be so much to get your story out, but to build trust. So maybe people know your story. They know, you know, Ford Motor Company, everybody knows Ford, it's been around forever. You know, and people have made up their minds whether they like Ford cars or not. But one of the things that may influence people is if they're Ford customers already, do they feel connected with the brand or don't they? Is there a way that the company might see, they happen to have one of the best social media strategies in your country, Scott Monty, but I'm guessing he might be always asking questions like, what do we really want to achieve with our customers through the through social media? And it may be to build trust. It may not be to inform them about the latest model, or it may be. You know, so you have to work out what you're trying to achieve, and then your strategy, different strategies for different folks, and then you look at the tools. Given all the previous information, where people hang out on the social web, what tools they use, what we're trying to achieve in relation to our customers, what strategies we'll employ, and how we'll measure that, how will our relationship change, and how will we know that, and then given all that, what do we use? You know, I say to people, if you call your local handy person to come along and fix something at your house and say the plumbing is a problem, and the handy person comes in and says, I've got this great new screwdriver I just want to test out, you'll say, go away, because you want them to use the wrench or whatever it is they have to use for the plumbing. So, you know, it's the same with social media. Different tools will work for different objectives. Does that help with the question?
It helps tremendously, and in fact, it makes me connect a dot and raises another question in my mind, which is, using your analogy that you just gave with the plumber, what if the company uses that POST model, they go through all of that, and then their organization's culture is not conducive to change, and people are going, well, we like the way we're doing things. The salespeople are going, this works for me. What are you changing this for?
Yeah, that's right.
Then what?
That's right. No. And this is a whole kind of area in its own right, as you would well know, but There's a very good book for people who like reading books to get up on what's going on. A book by a woman who was at Forrester named Charlene Lee, L-I. The book is called Open Leadership, and it's, you can get it on Amazon and so on, probably in your good bookstores. And she had this precise issue, which was that she and a guy named Josh Burnoff, who worked on that post system at Forrester, wrote a book called Groundswell, which was about what's happening with social media. And it's a very good book. It's a few years old now, but it's still very good and got great case studies. You'd probably get it at your local library. But then she had people coming to her and saying, and I'm paraphrasing what she said in the introduction to the book, that, okay, we followed all the principles you set out in Groundswell, but we're finding resistance from, you know, what she called curmudgeonly types, or from other people who just simply didn't quite see why they had to change what they were doing. So she wrote the book, and it was about a different kind of leadership, which was open to things like the sort of thing you're talking about with the reverse mentoring, which would be a big culture shock for a lot of companies. So I believe that, and I know this from a number of case studies I've looked at and heard about from people I talk with, that the challenge of cultural change is one of the toughest areas for implementing social media strategies and for different practices. So what will happen is so often that people who, as you say, they say, well, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Things are working all right. We're happy with the way we're doing things. Why do we need these newfangled things? So, well, you know, that's where you need leadership at the top, which says, I know that some people are going to find this a bit difficult, but this is the way the world's going, and we need to be ahead of the game, not behind it. So then I've started to develop some tools for how do you handle this, and one way is to have that idea of a champion who may be one of the more junior persons in the pecking order, but they are savvy about the technology and about the way people communicate with that technology, and they have the guidance of a more senior member, and you, and who may well be the chief executive, or you know, some kind of vice president level or whatever. And if it's a smaller firm, someone who's got the kind of ownership of the business at heart and knows that this is important, essential for the business. So the cultural change is the resistance to cultural change is often hidden, because nobody wants to be the one who in the staff meeting the owner of the business says, why are you stopping this when you know that I want it to happen? So the resistance can be subtle, it can be passive aggressive, you know, it can be actually sabotage. And people, absolutely, some people who engage in that kind of sabotage, I know from organizations I've worked in, can be unaware that that's what they're doing. They're really kind of protecting their turf often.
Do you have a little example of what that would look like?
The social media is a current area of engagement or the ongoing challenge of cultural change. I found in the past when I was at an executive level, I sometimes had to say to other people at the executive level, you may be excited about change, I may be excited about change as I am. A lot of the people who are not at this executive level, who are, if you like, the workers, are sometimes frightened about change, because when you say we're going to change, what goes through their heads often is, I might lose my job. How will I pay the mortgage?
How will it affect me?
How will I get my kids through school? That's the reality for them when you say change. So you have to be sensitive to that and say, when you say we're going to change the culture around you, we say, and we're going to have more jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the best,
you know what I'm saying,
approach to take. So that's why that champion is so important, because that champion then goes around and gets people excited by doing the kinds of things that makes them want to use social media, for example, because they know now how it will benefit them.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we have the challenge, Yvonne, that, you know, what's the old saying, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. The younger person who's enthusiastic, excited, managing director has said, go for it, young person, you know, I'm behind you all the way, and then starts to get resistance from some of these other people. What are some of the skills that they need to be able to negotiate that? It's no,
So the champion needs skills and training.
Yeah, if the only solution they have is, I'm going to tell the managing director on you, that's not going to work very well.
Right. That's really valid. I hadn't considered that. The champion also needs some skills, some training in advance, so that when they meet with this resistance, they have a methodology whereby they can put people at ease to the point where at least their ears are open enough to hear it. Because when people have a barrier up, when people have resistance, they can't hear what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, who is this young whippersnapper coming in here and telling me I have to change things?
Pretty much. That is pretty much what you have to do. So perhaps then we should discuss a little bit about coaching, right? And the fact that people who are coaches may be part of the beginning of the strategy where they come in and they coach the C-level person, the executive level, around the benefits that come from making this change in the organization.
Yeah, because, you know, and that's a really insightful thing, Yvonne, because, you know, an executive, the CEO will often be a very entrepreneurial person. I mean, because they created the firm or they took it over when it was not going so well and they're turning it around. The very fact that the CEO is actually looking at a strategic approach to social media means that they are looking at opportunities and they are attuned to the market and they're already, if you like, halfway there. But those people themselves may not realize what they're unleashing. They may not realize, they may not have thought through, they may not have seen, but there's not a lot of literature about it that I can find out about it. A lot of it's really kind of gung-ho, this is the future, let's get onto it straight away, you know, not so much about the risks, except the risks tend to be in the popular mainstream media, horror stories of terrible things happening through one or other social media platform, but they don't seem to relate to business so much. Some about business, again, some horror stories, people losing their jobs, people embarrassing the company, damaging the brand, etc. But where's the middle ground, which is, says, okay, how do we do this strategically? And the CEO needs to be helped, to, if they don't have the time, and they often don't have the time, to be helped to think through a strategic approach to change management, implementing a new approach to engaging with customers, new approach to engaging even with other people in their industry. So that I think a social media savvy coach or a social media strategist needs to use some coaching skills and sit with the C-level people and say, what do you, you know, work them through it. What do you believe are the main, so treat it, as I said earlier, like if you were thinking of setting up a branch in a new city, talk through what you want to achieve with that. Talk through what you see as the obstacles. Talk through about what you don't know. I mean, you may have a business which is kind of in some way politically sensitive, say in property development. What do you know about the politics of that city and how easy or difficult it is to get projects approved? You know, so with social media also, what do you know about this? What don't you know? What do we need to do more research on? And have that exercise with the C-level people. And then there'd be a different kind of conversation with the champion who was probably already savvy about the technology and say, what do you understand about what happens in organizations when you try to change things and change people's behaviors? And it might not have occurred to them that some people, especially if they're young, single, you know, free, they don't understand what it's like to be, you know, a provider for a family, and you're worried about your job, and the change in, especially if it's technology change, what technology change has meant for a couple of generations is, with technology change, people lose their jobs. It's a kind of branded on into people's psyche. So the champion needs some coaching too. So there's a whole lot of coaching's got to go on.
Okay. Excellent. And I completely agree with you, but today everybody calls themselves a coach. And so since you are a founding member of the International Association for Coaching, I have another question for you, which is, is it realistic to expect a person who is not a trained coach to develop higher level coaching skills, or is that asking too much? Because you would need a coach that has higher level coaching skills to have the conversation with the C-level people that we were just discussing. So is it realistic?
I'm perhaps a bit of a maverick on this, Yvonne, because you know my life experience tells me that often people can have higher level coaching skills who've not been trained as coaches. So that would upset some of my fellow coaches. I'm not saying that they would be ideal coaches in every situation, but they may have the skills they need, or they may be able to have existing skills augmented for this particular task. I mean, for instance, one of the higher level coaching skills, which mightn't sound like it, but it's crucial, is listening skills.
Yes.
I could work with somebody who has fairly good listening skills and help them improve them to a point where they could use those listening skills for this specific task of being the champion for a social media program. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we can all be capable of not really listening, you know, say, when we say in our private lives or in talking with friends or something, you know, the expression, "Are you really listening to me?" It's not uncommon. We can be doing stuff and appearing to listen but not really hearing. So that, you know, there are exercises that people can do. So what I'm saying is learn some of the skills that coaches use and see how well you can do that, and then there are ways to augment those. It would take a bit longer to go into than we have time for now. But another skill is, and good coaches will use this strategically, is to ask the question, what's really going on here? Because, mediators do this very well. People who do negotiation, people who are trained, you know, in the police services and other areas who have to deal with very, very fragile situations with hostages and so on, they are trained to, and this is a coaching skill, but that's at a very high level. And so you take a police officer off the beat and you say, we're going to train you as a hostage negotiator. One of the things they train them, I guess, I've never done this, but I guess one of the things they would train them to do is to learn in some fashion the question that good coaches ask, which is, whether they ask it openly or in their mind, they're asking it, what's really going on here? Because we're all capable of building up a story that doesn't relate to the real problem we have. To go back to the example of the person who's worried about their mortgage or their kids going through college, you know. So when the managing director says, we're going to have this change, we're going to start producing, we're going to be involved with social media, we're going to have a Facebook page, we're going to have a blog, and blah, blah, blah. That, for some people, says technology change means maybe they're going to reduce the number of employees because they're bringing in this new technology, or they won't need me because I don't really understand it, and I'm too old to learn it, and my kids are not going to go through college, and I'll die ashamed, you know. And this is the way our lizard brain works sometimes, you know. So when the eager, young, preppy sort of social media champion waltzes into my office and says, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about this exciting new program we've got for social media. What their brain is saying is, please go away. And what they might say is, I'd love to help you. I've just got this project. I've got a conflict because the manager says I have to finish this project within the next 3 weeks, and I just can't deal with it today. You hear what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The coach says, what's really going on here? They might ask that question. They might say, what have I got to do here? Oh, I've got to remember what's really going on. So they say, oh, okay. Oh, what's the project? And you ask about their project, and you talk with them, and you build rapport. And eventually they say, what was that thing you were going to talk to me about? Because they realize you're not just this bright, enthusiastic young person. You're actually a good listener.
Absolutely.
And nobody's listening to them. So at last they've found someone in the firm who'll listen to them.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of
kind
of human communication skills involved here. And I don't want to dress it up too much, but you know, I'm kind of being a bit daring in calling it high-level coaching skills, but that's what a lot of high-level coaching does. And in a coaching situation, you have to be very disciplined about it. And when I'm saying this, I'm reflecting the fact that I learnt this from one of the masters of coaching of all time, Thomas Lennon, the late Thomas Lennon, who set up the International Coaching Federation. He set up the International Association of Coaching. He set up Coachville. You talk to coaches, especially in the USA, so Thomas Leonard, you can go and look him up online, Thomas Leonard, leonard.com, there's a memorial site there for him, and he said, and I heard him say it, coaching is a higher form of communication.
I haven't heard that. I know who Thomas Leonard is, I know he started it, but I hadn't heard that.
Yes.
However, I will say that it's difficult to be a good listener in today's world because there is so much noise. And by noise, I don't mean by decibels, loudness of sound. I mean noise. There's emails and social media and phone calls and billboards and, you know, so the mind is not used to listening. It's constantly processing. And so I often teach people that listening means that you're silent. And I explain that by silent, I mean you have to quiet your mind so you're not distracted and you can actually truly hear what the other person is saying. It's hard.
Absolutely. Now, I mentioned to you, and I know we're sort of getting to the closer to the top of the hour, and how quickly the time has gone. I know we could continue this conversation, but I mentioned to you that I've done a kind of a first, at this stage I'd have to call it kind of a report or a first stage run at an ebook I'm developing on these issues of, you know, applying these higher level coaching skills to the champion role. And this can work just as easily in like a two-person business, like a mom and pop business. You know, you could have partners in their own business, and it can be a cleaning business, it can be a small local accounting firm, bookkeeping, it can be a legal firm, whatever. And you can still apply these things because one says, well, you run this social media thing and I'll do the other thing. You know, but that, so the person who's nominated to run it is still the champion. But it's the same kind of issues apply to it in a different way, but they apply particularly in larger organizations with different age groups and so forth. So I've done this document and I'm happy for people. I've put up a form. Any of your listeners who wanted to read this, they can download it, and I'll give you a link to that. And I'd really value some feedback because I want to kind of tease this out into something that's going to be more of a kind of a guide for people in different sorts of businesses, if that would be of interest.
Absolutely. I would love to know what is the final name? Is it still a Simple Guide for Social Media Champions? Or
it's still Simple Guide, and I've got a Simple Guide for the Social Media Champion, and I've called it Practical Strategies for Anyone with Organizational Responsibility for Driving Social Media Implementation. And I've written it because there can be a lot of people who suddenly get this kind of job and they haven't had the responsibility of driving organizational change in an organization. Well, they haven't. It hasn't gone so well, but they're looking for kind of some different insights. So that is, I'll give you the link for this, for where people can go to get that. If I may do that now?
Yes, if it's a simple, straightforward link, please do. They can write it down when they listen.
Okay. The link is, and it's on my site, so it's Deswalsh, DESWALSH. So it's http://... DESWALSH.com/SM Champion. That's social media champion. So it's initial S for social, M for media, CHAMPION, all one word. That's Deswalsh.com/SM Champion. And I've made it password protected, so that it's just the moment for your listeners and a few other people. The password is culture, C-U-L-T-U-R-E. If you have any trouble, if anybody has any trouble, let me know and I'll find another way to get it to them. And there's a little sign-up. You know, this sort of it has to be confirmed that they really want it. If they can bear with that process of just confirming a couple of things, then they'll get an email from me with that document attached. It's and then I will make sure they also get a copy of the ebook when it's done.
That's very generous.
Complimentary.
Very, very, very generous of you to do that, Debbie.
Not at all.
Now,
the only thing I'd ask,
as you said,
really, you know, I really value some feedback, and if it's not relevant or there's things that they don't understand, that would be tremendously valuable for me to know.
Absolutely. So as you said, we have just a few minutes remaining, and so I'd like to just ask you the one last question, which is, do you have any last comments that you'd like to share regarding tonight's topic? Just parting words, if you will.
Well, yeah, parting words. Firstly, I've enjoyed it, really. I love to have this kind of conversation, and the other thing would be that I really would encourage people who see the value of social media for business, but who may have business associates or partners who are resistant, to recognize that some people are fearful and to understand that there are risk management procedures that can be put in place. And I say this especially for the kind of baby boomer generation who can say, I can use this in private life, I'm too nervous about using it in business, is to say, we have risk management for hiring and people and letting them go. We have assessment procedures and measurement, you know, performance assessment and so forth. We have risk management for our financial business, which is, you know, we have insurance policies and so on. It is possible to have, with a strategic approach, risk management in place for adopting social media. And I would say it's essential. So that might sound a slightly downbeat note, but it is important. In order to open up the conversation, to say to people, well, look, if you could have risk management procedures that made sense to you, would that mean you could have a conversation about this? And I think most intelligent business people will say, okay, if you think you can convince me of that, I'll listen to you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for the wonderful interview, Dev. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. Our next show will feature Renaissance woman Lee Travathan. She's the author of The Rebel Writer's Book of Blogs. She is an A-list mentor of nearly 30 years to artistic souls worldwide in the area of extraordinary thinking, a top-ranked filmmaker. She's a professional photographer and an author who has several books in publication and has authored over 500 articles to date. She also owns a global radio network and a Phoenix barter brokerage. So really looking forward to having Lee as well. And I am your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with these words. Knowledge without action is useless. and a terrible waste of knowledge and time. Action without knowledge is dangerous. Keep that in mind as you move forward with your social media strategies. So be sure to continue to find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy. Tune in next month, and in the meantime, visit me online at www.YvonneFBrown.com and use the contact page to share what other topics you would like the show to cover. And in addition, if you have any questions for Des, remember to visit his website, www.deswalsh.com, and get your book at SM Champion. Thank you, Des.
Thanks, Yvonne. It's been great. I look forward to speaking again in due course.
Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at Yvonne@YvonneFBrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.YvonneFBrown.com, YvonneFBrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.